So it was online. Paul is, Bernard is. This is Stefan Johnson. Lisa just arrived, right? Alan arrived.
Good morning, Stefan. Alan here.
Excellent. Alan is here. Lisa, you there? Not yet. Paul is on mute, according to this.
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm on mute, so I'm happy. I'll leave it open if you want, don't mind.
Okay. Hi, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. You're right. Hello.
I think Vika has sent his apologies.
Okay.
And Eric?
Let me just...
Do you know anything about?
Yeah, he sent a note in saying he will not be in Frankfurt, but he didn't send a note in with respect to this call today.
Eric will not be in Frankfurt?
He will not be in Frankfurt. Let me just check that.
He actually sent a note saying that he was on his way to the Joburg airport, and because of that might not be on the call. But he may be on the call if he can get through security quickly enough. But my inference was that he would be because he was going to the airport.
I think that's Vika.
Vika's
going to the airport.
I apologize.
Eric is the one. I'm just looking.
Hello.
Is Bart on the call?
Yes, I am.
Good, okay, there we are. So Eric will not be in Germany, just to clarify. He's just looking at an email he sent this morning.
Okay. But Vika will.
Yeah, he's...
Vika will, but Eric's going to be connected. He's going to join... Eric is going to join remotely, but I do think we need to, as Alan said, I do think we need to be a little more prepared for Frankfurt than we currently are, so we present a united voice once there.
I agree.
So it's 2 minutes past. Should we start then? Because it seems we are most people, right?
Yes.
So, and just a few minutes ago, we shared a agenda for today, and I'm not sure if all saw it. I sent it to Bart just a couple of minutes ago, and hope you will be able to have some support from it as well. I was hoping you would help writing in the right lane as usual.
Yeah, I will.
So we had a late addition to the agenda talking about money as well. So there's 5 points, and we have about 1 hour to do this. So if there are no other suggestions for the agenda, I think we start about the survey. And hopefully Paul could take us quite fast through the survey and the results and the analysis, if possible, in a very analytical way, identifying where the problems and the conflicts are, and also where the possibilities for consensus are, so we can work fast towards a Frankfurt meeting. Is that okay with you, Paul?
Well, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, what I would propose to do is stick fairly closely to the agenda, because I think the first question is at what point should the survey be available to the community? And I would like to advocate more or less as soon as possible, or more accurately, the moment the group of five plus Alan have come to a consensus on what we think it's all about, particularly for Frankfurt, we make it available soon thereafter. So then people endorse, I hope, the findings that the five of us agree upon. So I would urge that the survey be made available the moment Frankfurt finishes.
So you don't want it before Frankfurt?
The thing I'm worried about is if we do before Frankfurt, people, you can interpret statistics in many, many different ways, and we need, there's only going to be four of us now, not five, against, I don't know how many, and I use the word against liberally. The more data we put into the public domain, the more interpretation there is, because some of the questions are vague. If you wanted to wanted me to send all the results out to the people that had submitted comments, that's achievable. But I'm just worried we need to come with a united front, and we need to, you know, the five of us, six of us, need to do analysis to have a common approach, rather than having 50 people in the room or 30 people in the room interpreting our the survey in many different ways. Mm-hmm. Frankfurt's only day after tomorrow afterwards. By the end of the week, I think we should make it publicly available to everyone so people can either disagree with us or whatever, but at least it won't be done in public.
So you don't want the argument to say, you don't want it to be in the meeting. You want it to be taken outside. So you're
preferably, well, I mean, I'm guided by the rest of everyone. The main thing is, I do think the CC community is on the back foot as it is, mm-hmm. and it would be better that the CC community come to an opinion as to what the joint position or positions should be for Frankfurt, and we stick to the hymn sheet, rather than having discussion about statistics and people interpreting the statistics in a different way and undermining our I hope, harmonious voice.
Yeah.
And Eric has actually just joined. I've just...
Yes. Sorry.
He's on the Adobe, in the Adobe room.
Welcome, Eric. This is Stefan Johnson. I'm chairing today. We just started with the discussion, first issue on the agenda, about the survey, when to send the survey and when to send analysis to the community.
Has anyone done...
Well, please go ahead, Buzz.
My preference would be that we release... the data, I would say in its entirety, because you've seen, suddenly the five, six of us have now seen the data, I think we have nothing to be lost by sharing everything. I think the graphs don't tell enough of a story. The comments give, the comments add meat to the graphs, and in fact in some ways enable the graphs to be interpreted in a different way. So I would be advocating we make the information available, certainly to those that responded to the survey, because that gives them an incentive to participate in the next survey, but I would also advocate making it available to everyone so they can all do their own interpretation, or more accurately, they can see where the majority of CCs are coming from, because although there are opinions all over the place, there is some synergy. There are two fundamental camps within the CCs, and that's easy to identify. But I think we should make the remarks and the charts available combined rather than just the charts only.
Yep. I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh. Any other views? I interpret that as silence. So let's go forward.
Alan here,
then.
I agree as well.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, Alan. So let's go on Paul's line then,
and if I understood everything correct, we'll wait till the end of the week. We should include both remarks and charts when presenting it to the public.
Sorry, I have a comment.
Yes, Eric, please.
If we can review first the data before release, if appear a comment that could direct to understand who is the CCTLD behind that survey, specifically or behind that comment. So a quickly review to don't say, for example, in my country, Peru, so it's very clear that the focus of the CCTLD could be the P. So a quickly review to erase or delete that kind of comments. Or part of the
just on that point, we have the ability, And I don't know, we have the ability to share with the regional organizations how their members commented. So you'll see on the top of the screen, we've divided it up into APTLD, AFTLD, Center, and LACTLD. We could certainly break it out in that regard, if that helped you, Eric. So you could see how CCs in your region, what opinions they submitted. I don't know how many submitted, actually, so let me just see.
It's only to be clear that any of the survey will be completely anonymous. And any of the comments or something will be direct to say, for example, Eric or cctlb.pe say something.
Okay, no, at the moment it is correct. You are correct. At the moment, everything has been... Who said what is private? I thought you were coming at it the other way, saying you would like to know which CC said something. But at the moment, we agreed that we would keep the comments that each CC... the identity of each CC private, and that is what has been achieved. But if you're advocating that with each regional organization sees which... of their members commented in a certain way, that would be possible, but it's not what we agreed with the respondents. The respondents, or certainly the ones who asked me, and I had about five questions from various CCs, how private will it be? And I said the comments will be made public in their entirety, but the identity of who said it will be kept private.
Yeah. Hmm. So...
But Eric, you can go through it if there is a comment that is referring back to a specific CCTLD. I think we should erase it in order to keep the promise of anonymous, of them to be anonymous.
Yeah, that's in my view.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Okay, so we need to check the data. I haven't checked the data. Someone said we hadn't included the IDNs. It's not perfect. I have to say I did 2 18-hour days on this ruddy thing, and I had my day job as well. So I've been working quite hard to get it out for the Friday call, which I unfortunately missed. I got the wrong time. I was there, but it was the wrong time. Okay, so I will check the data again. Yeah, I was there an hour later. Never mind. I'll have one of my guys check the data to make sure there is nothing in the data to identify any CCTLD. I haven't looked at that. So thank you for that. Can we move on to item two, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please. Let's go ahead. So communications to the CCTLD community. We've formally spoken about a webinar on the survey outcome, and November 26th was proposed. So last Friday, we had a discussion whether you were interested of doing this poll, or if maybe I should do it since I didn't have any formal webinar, or someone else should. So do you have an idea about this poll?
So I mean, Bart was the one I was hoping would speak on it, but the intent, I believe, is to have a webinar on the 26th. The first webinar will occur when it's friendly for the APTLD region, and if you would be kind enough to do it, Stefan, that would be great, which basically, I hope, will present a common CCTLD position, or a common CCTLD positions, that we will have gleaned or we will have presented at Frankfurt, but also we will be able to inform the CCTLD community who are interested in the webinar after or what happened at Frankfurt. So the idea is really to fulfill the objective of having two-way communication with the CC's community. So yes, if you could do Europe, that'd be great, or Europe and North America, that would be great.
Stefan, okay. Bernie has his hand up, and if you look at the Adobe room, I sent you a draft for an announcement. It also addresses the point, and say it's easy to change anyway. It also addresses the point when the results of the survey will be available. But Bernie?
Yes. Bernie, please.
Yes. Paul, I don't know if anybody else, but you're really, really loud compared to everyone. You lower your gain on your mic a bit?
I will, gladly.
Okay.
Apart from this practical...
Lisa?
Yes. Sorry, I just interrupted. But I was thinking, Bart, you made this draft for an email, but I don't know if we should write anything about the face-to-face meeting in that email, or we just want to have our information on the webinar, because I think we should do both, but we can write out to the group after the webinar maybe. So we have the webinar on the 26th, and then we make a small resume of where we are.
Yes, of course. Look, it's your thing. Say the way I've interpreted what we discussed on Friday was use this as an opportunity to, first of all, inform the people that the survey has been completed and how many filled it in. Secondly, to use it to inform the community about the results. Secondly, make them very aware of that the CWG is moving on and it's going fast, and use the opportunity of the webinar as well to inform the community of progress and to effectively reach out to them and be alert for around the 1st of December, when it is the intention that the CWG publishes its interim or initial report. Mm-hmm. So, and if you want to do it, say, because the 26th, if you think about it, it's 5 days or even less before the 1st of December. So announcing it and waking people up, please attend the 26th. So why not include the face-to-face that it's happening?
Yeah.
Because you said so in your previous email.
Can we sort of deal with that offline? Can we deal with that offline? I think it's important to keep the community informed. I think it's important we tell them that the survey results will be available. I think it would be a nice gesture to send a private email to those CCs that responded to the survey, maybe giving them sort of 24 hours advance notice, just because it makes them feel special and says thank you. But let's not waste 5-6 people's time on but we should do it. We will do something, Bart, and we'll discuss it offline.
Was just, as we said, a proposal for the announcement. If you want to do it, you send it out this week, because people need to schedule it. So he's got the time, everything inside of it. So I sent it this morning to you, so that's all.
Excellent. So it should be sent this week, yeah. So let's go on. Outcome of Frankfurt face-to-face
early
meeting.
This week, Stefan.
Yeah.
Yep. Good luck. Next on the agenda point was outcome of Frankfurt face-to-face meeting. And so then we kind of covered that, right? Or did you intend something else, Lisa, while adding it is?
No. I just want us to include this in the webinar, and that's also on the. I think that's on the list of what the webinar is gonna be about. Or I'm not sure, so I'm asking.
Yep.
I think the webinar should include the survey and the outcome of the Frankfurt face-to-face meeting.
Uh-huh. So let's take this offline then as well, via mail also. So I suggest we leave the second point of communications and go to the third point, things to do before Frankfurt, since that's our main topic for today. So on the first bullet point there is interpretation of the survey. I'm not sure if Paul wants to do a quick walkthrough of the analysis.
I would like to do a very quick walkthrough, if I may. I hope everyone has
Please
the survey before them or up. I appreciate the ICANN staff do not, for which I apologize. It's been restricted, but obviously we'll make that available. I did send Bart earlier in the call the printout analysis, my very brief analysis, very brief. Late one evening I was doing it. First of all,
you
thanks, Don
Paul,
Holland.
Yeah? Paul, you want me to share it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And then Bernie can see it, and people
yeah.
that may not have it in front of you. That's a good idea. But it'll be okay. a very brief... I really want to get to the meat of
mm-hmm.
and have discussion of what people think with respect to... Oh, hang on, my screen's gone. Separation of functions, because I think we need to present a united ICANN support group, because the GTLD element of our community are, in my opinion, wanting to potentially fragment things. I would like to explore why there is potentially a need for oversight. But when that comes up, whilst that's coming up, I'll just do the preamble because the call
yes,
is being recorded. A special thanks to Don Hollander for the actually drafting the questions and putting a lot of work in behind the scenes, certainly at the ICANN meeting, to try and get the questions as he wanted them. And then to Peter for Van Roster from Centre for actually changing the order of the questions to make sure it flows a bit better. And to Patrick Miles for operating the Sea Monkey. It would be useful to know, Bart, if you could share with us how many people participated in the webinar, just so that it makes it clear that we've had tried to conduct outreach and a number
yep.
of CCs did participate in it. So if you could give us the number, I'll put it in there.
Yep.
With regard to the data, we had obviously the standard denial of service attack. We had all the normal people that were wasting time. Those were removed. Some registry managers operate multiple CCTLDs. They very kindly listed those, and they have been recorded, but their comments were only entered once. I do actually see we have to include more of those, and I see the IDNs are missing. So we will also list the IDNs that were part of the survey. We had 7 IDNs. Some staff submitted multiple replies for the same CCTLD. Interestingly, some just registered the fact they had gone to the website for the survey and didn't actually comment on any, didn't make any substantive comments. In some instances, there was a difference of opinion between two parties, two members of staff from the same CC, in which case I contacted them and asked them to clarify what they were meaning. So only one response was received from each CC, as only one was accepted as part of the analysis. The survey was available in French, Spanish, Arabic, Chinese, Korean, Russian, and obviously English. We received replies in all languages, and as we do know, thank you, Lisa, for doing your webinar for the Centre region. We had webinars in English, and thank you, Eric, for doing the Spanish webinar.
Yeah.
And as I said, it'd be interesting to know how many people participated. We had 97 CCTLDs replied to the survey. There were 11 additional CCs, in other words, those CCs run by the same CC manager. We had 7 IDNs, so that made a total of 108 CCs with an additional 7 IDN CCTLDs. Turning to the results themselves, question 4, and I urge those that have access to the survey to look at the pretty pictures and click on the overall margin to the left. We have broken the statistics down, just for those that unfortunately don't have access at the moment, we've broken them down to CCNSO members, non-CCNSO members, APTLD members, AFTLD members, Centre members, and LACTLD members. We've also made it possible to see the results in your local language. So that on the top right-hand side, you can do a translation into local language, primarily for those Arabic scripts where we had a lot of comments back in Arabic. We had a few comments back in Russian, and it's helpful. We're working on trying to make it so that the wording within the chart itself is translated. At the moment, we have a slight bug, and we will try and facilitate that. But it's a nice to have rather than a must have, and I don't think it should slow down the release of the data, but it's just trying to make sure that we address the community in their local language. Question four, this was a question, as actually the first commenter said quite accurately, that the original intent when IANA was set up was that it was set up as a separate independent body. It was felt by 33% of the respondents that that had been blurred and it was actually an integrated department within ICANN. The bottom line is the vast majority of CC managers would like to keep the IANA at ICANN, which is good. I'll just read my report, actually, because I wrote it a bit better. 33% thought it was an integrated department within ICANN. What Canberra identified is 56.1% want IANA to remain within ICANN's structure with strong functional separation. So the idea of having it firewalled is very important, and we should try and ask IANA to reinforce their independent operation from the ICANN structure. We did a breakdown on terms of the CCNSO members. 21.4% of the CCNSO members wanted full structural separation, which therefore implies that 80-odd percent or 79% didn't. And a not dissimilar number, 28.6% of non-CCNSO members wanted full functional separation. In my opinion, there is no strong significant deviation, so the idea is that IANA remains within the ICANN structure, albeit firewalled off.
Yeah.
Question five, this was a contentious question. It was interpreted...
Sorry, I would like to make a comment, Bart.
Yes.
Please.
Yes, if you see region by region, in the case of Latin America, is a high percent of the people that believe it's necessary a functional separation. More than the 50%, and the rest is less than that. So I'm not clear why my region is, but if in my correct understanding, is keep the system like right now exists, but don't have more power to anybody. In especially because in our region, our relation between the CCTLDs and the government sometimes are very awful, if you want to use a correct word. So maybe it will be necessary to understand region by region, but it's clear that the majority said that it's necessary a functional separation.
That's true. The majority wanted functional separation, which, to be fair, was the original intent when ICANN took on the IANA role. Do remember, when ICANN was first created, IANA was not part of the ICANN structure. It was only added later.
In 2001, in some of the moments, the idea was to create a separate community of CCTLDs. But then...
Yeah, CCs came in late 2000, 2001, yes.
Yes, yes.
So I think question four is the easy question, in that try and keep as much status quo as possible, albeit have functional separation. In other words, their own budgets, their own staff, their own IT departments. Incidentally, and Bart can confirm, but I had the pleasure of speaking with some IANA staff a couple of weeks ago. In terms of the root server service that we benefit from, it's actually two full-time employees that administer the root server service. So it's run very efficiently. But obviously there are other overheads that need to be considered as well. The more interesting one was 5A and 5B. And I hope we can have a proper discussion on this, because this is quite key, particularly for Frankfurt. It's more or less a 50-50 split, give or take, as to whether there needs to be external oversight mechanism to replace the NTIA's present role. It was broken down into two parts with regards to changes and also the reassignment of the contract. Unfortunately, the question was misunderstood by some of the respondents, and so some answered yes, indicating that the registry itself, which is obviously external to ICANN, should provide the other the oversight. Others responded yes to endorse regional organizations providing the oversight, which was a new thing that I hadn't thought of. And then others said yes because they wanted to create an independent body. So buried within the 47.1% are effectively three distinct members or elements of our community. The 41.2% of no, basically there isn't a need for external to ICANN, could be because further on down the survey there's a strong desire to see automation, and so you're effectively decentralizing the model. But with the transactional oversight, it's hard to make an interpretation on that one, and I'd welcome some thought on that. And 5B, this was the same question, but relating to reassignment, effectively, of the contract itself. Should IANA fail to deliver within the ICANN framework? And there the view was yes, there should be an external oversight mechanism. But here again, conversely, same as the other, some people answered, yes, there's a need for external to ICANN oversight, but the CC community or CC individually can deliver that and they are independent. So unfortunately, the question has built confusion in people's minds, and there's no straightforward answer, but it's a tricky one. So can we open the floor to any comments as to how anyone interprets 5 or 5A? 5A and 5B, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Any takers?
Alan here, just
yep.
Just basically to agree with what Paul said, I think the question was very vague and kind of what is meant by a mechanism. So I think that there's a I just agree with them. I don't know what we can do with the results. They neither help us, you know. I think we don't want to ignore them, but I think they're not that useful. Let's put it that way. That would be my sense. Thanks.
Staffan here. I know something similar earlier today while talking about ambiguity in the answers, and there is confusion for sure. Anyone else?
I wasn't involved in drafting the questions, and I have to say, to me, when you read a question over and over again, you sort of know. It's only when you stand back that you possibly get the wrong interpretation. And we did a focus group of a different set of questions, because if you remember, we did the focus group for a completely different set of questions. These questions came in after the focus group, and I was so keen to get on with the survey, I didn't actually see the problem. So can we just broaden the discussion, because the GTLD group are very keen on having an independent oversight mechanism, a brand new organ. And to be candid, I fear that we are making the IANA function, or the transition, unnecessarily complicated, in that I don't see why we need to have an external, independent oversight mechanism for the IANA. We have to have some trust in the process that IANA will operate properly. We have to have trust in the ICANN mechanism. And having yet another organ, I think, undermines that. I understand some people may welcome the opportunity of of possibly having or being involved or sitting on the board or whatever, but one is centralizing authority, and I fear greatly central authorities, when particularly in the CC market, we already have our authorities in our national jurisdiction. And so certainly for 5A, I don't see the need for having an external brand new entity to keep an eye on IANA, ICANN. We have to trust them to do the job, because they're empowering or giving us the tools as CC managers to do it. I see GTLDs probably need it, because they don't have a multi-stakeholder model within country that addresses policies for them. But what do people think, particularly on 5A, and then we can go to 5B?
Okay, Staffan, let's go to the list. Lisa is second on the list.
Oh, thank you, Staffan. I actually think both. I think for some of the functions that IANA have or has, we don't need an oversight. But when we're talking about the redelegation, you might want an oversight so you don't have someone going rogue and just redelegating the CCTLD, or so you have a very, today it doesn't seem that we have a very specific procedure for this. So it's one of the areas where I know a lot of CCs are worried. And you might want to distinguish between the normal name server, whatever, things that can be automated and is not that bad, and the more troublesome decisions. Thank you.
Hmm. So then it's Bernard. You have a hand up.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Just as a context, given I read about every single email that goes through the CWG, I think the concern from many people on that side is not the job can't be done, is not done well now, et cetera, et cetera, but rather that if something goes wrong and you don't have that body, your insurance policy is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, Alan.
Thank you, Stefan. Having looked at the so-called modified straw man proposal one that the G's have sent out, I make a couple of points. Not that I'm arguing in favor of it, but just we may not be as far apart as one might initially think. They're not necessarily arguing for an incorporated entity, okay? There's what they say is incorporated or unincorporated. So if this was more of a committee and therefore not a separate legal entity, I think that it might have more attraction. I think some of the functions that they would have it do, I think many in the CC community would not object to, and that would, for example, development and management of the SLA. I think that is a requirement that many in the community would support. Another of the functions is that there would be a periodic review of the performance of IANA against that. Okay, so again, not that much trouble. They have this notion of some kind of third-party contractor or evaluator to take on some of the role that many think the NTIA was doing, and I don't think they were, but nevertheless, it's there. So I don't think I would support an oversight body. Some of the functions that they talk about and a new committee, I think there, I think there would be more room for agreement around something like that. Thank you. Just to address what Lisa's saying, they include a policy appeal mechanism which is separate from the oversight body. So Lisa, your point, if someone wants to challenge a delegation or redelegation, they would not see that being one of the functions of the oversight body as such, but rather they have a separate policy appeal mechanism. Thank you.
Then I put myself on the list and just making some remarks on question 5A and 5B. So I do agree that that maybe not the function of question 5A, transactional oversight, is absolutely necessary. But I am afraid I believe that in 5B, some kind of mechanism for a lender of last resort, if you so want to replace the contractual oversight is preferred because of, well, it's probably my Russian inheritance, but I do believe in trust, but I also believe in control. So I'm quite divided in this, in my view, but 5B is maybe something that is necessary. I also like Alan's idea of putting emphasis to the similarities instead of a difference to the G community, because otherwise we will have a hard time getting anywhere in Frankfurt. So that's Paul then, please.
Okay, so first of all, thank you for confirming that the this oversight body, I'm talking really about 5A, I have to say I probably agree with 5B having an oversight body, but I've got a comment on that later. So 5A, depending on where you stand, in other words, how independent your CC is and how accountable it is within the laws within the country in which one resides, the thing I'm worried about is this oversight body could effectively come between the registry manager, either the incumbent or the appointed registry manager, if there's a reassignment. It gets in the way. And so I do see, if there is a contract between the registry operator and ICANN, one probably does need to have oversight of the execution of that contract and interpretation of that contract. I'm with that. But the reassignment, I firmly believe, is a local matter, preferably sorted out in a court, so then the incumbent registry operator fundamentally loses if the reassignment occurs, or if the incumbent wins, then the winner has to pass some objective criteria laid down by the industry to determine that the winner is capable of fulfilling the task. So it should eradicate frivolous claims of trying to run a registry. So I still, and I appreciate you've tried to explain, but I fall in the camp of, for 5A, transactional issues, that is outside of the scope of any oversight body, because the CC registry manager is responsible for that. IANA already produce excellent reports on a monthly basis relating to their performance. They're publicly available for anyone to see, and whilst the performance has been steady, certainly with the automation that is envisaged, and ICANN have made provision already, I think the performance will only improve. So the SLAs are already being monitored by active CCs, by regional organizations. I don't think we need to create a new organization. With regard to 5B and reassignment, that is indeed a tricky issue. Someone needs to make the call as to who should be the new party should ICANN-IANA fail. But if I'm not mistaken, NTIA will be holding a contract with VeriSign for the publication of root zone data. There is no intent as part of this transition at this time to facilitate transition of that element. So irrespective of whichever new organ one creates as the oversight mechanism, NTIA will give an instruction to VeriSign, the publisher of the root zone, as to the authoritative source. And if it ceases to be IANA, run by ICANN, and becomes IANA, run by a brand new entity, then I expect at that time the proper processes to have been followed.
Okay. So let's go on in the speakers list. Eric.
Well, I am see the cooperative of the regions, and again, my region appeared clear with APTLD in yes, as an answer for these two questions. But I don't understand like independence or separate legal entities. I understand more the question like the necessity of have external vision, maybe like ATRT for ICANN itself. It's not clear for me that from the answer that is related to external legally new structure. Maybe it's a commission, maybe it's advisory team or something like that. So it's clear from our community that they don't want to have some control or all the control internally in ICANN. They need somebody external to the system that could see and make that supervision or something like that. But the split 50-50 is not clear where is the best position.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Stefan. I think actually the oversight is closely tied to the redress function or appeal mechanism that we choose, because for me it's a matter of how fast things can go. And what I see is proposed in the RFP3 at the moment is not a permanent body, and I think it's very important if we don't have the oversight of the functional part, we need a redress function that's very fast and can act very fast. So it's difficult to pick out just one and say this is okay, unless you know what do we do if anything is against the CC manager or the CC country's opinion. So if anyone wants to challenge what's been done, is it dealt with fast, and is it something that's, is it people who know, who has actual policies and guidelines to deal with this? And I see your point, Paul, but you will always, even though you say it's a country who deals with the policy, you might have a CCTLD manager that are disagreeing with a government. And who do you choose? Who shall IANA listen to? Thank you.
So if I may, and I apologize for interjecting, but
no, that's fine.
A short one, please.
We all have to accord with the national law in which we reside. And if a government department anoints a certain entity, we as registry operators have the right to challenge that government department for anointing that entity, particularly if that entity is not capable of running the registry. If the government entity chosen is capable, then that's what you call nationalization, and nationalization results in the incumbent being paid a fortune for the asset that, or the data or the whatever that has been generated. So there are, it's not as if we're designing something new. If the government wants to nationalize their CCTLD, they're quite at liberty to do so, and they have to pay compensation to the incumbent. If the government wants to assign it to an entity that doesn't have any clue as to what they're doing, then I agree with you, there needs to be a technical threshold that the new party must pass. But to create this new independent body is something I'm fearful of. We want to be supporting the incumbent registries, not the new ones.
Thank you. Eric, are you still on, or is that an old hand?
I am still here.
You're still there, but your hand is still up, so maybe if you don't
want to add
anything, you maybe could take it down just so I can see.
Then
it's Alan on the left, please.
Thank you, Stefan. Actually, I'm going to repeat myself once, but I'll try and do it briefly. An appeal of a delegation or a redelegation is an appeal of a policy decision. And the kind of body or mechanism you would have to deal with that is very separate from the kind of operational performance body, i.e., the turnaround time for a change in the root zone is 21 days. Should that be changed to 15 days, right? That's very different. So I think it would be useful to keep the discussion of those separate. That's what's been done in the Strawman proposal, and I really don't see, even if we went down the road, that you could combine both of those into the same entity because they're dealing with completely different subject matter. So secondly, I'd just like to comment on the VeriSign NTIA cooperative agreement. Paul, I certainly am aware that if there is a transition proposal comes out of the community that is accepted by NTIA, that cooperative agreement will have to be amended to provide that VeriSign take instruction no longer from NTIA, but rather from whoever's on the other end of this. And hopefully, I hope it's IANA within ICANN, but that's just where I am. But you're right. That agreement will sit there. It'll still have NTIA and VeriSign will still be the two parties to that agreement, notwithstanding the fact that VeriSign will be told by NTIA that forthwith you will take instruction from this other entity. And obviously, if there's an issue in the future, NTIA can take action. Now, that being said, the whole point of this whole process, the reason it started, is all of the politics around the U.S. involvement in this. And I really don't want to draw a lot of attention to that, because this would be a very unsatisfactory outcome if we go through all of this and the end result is another movement to change the cooperative agreement, which I think would be a lot more problematic from the registry community's point of view. So while I acknowledge it's there, I really don't want to make that it's almost like, I'll use the North American football analogy. That's the deep safety, the one man you have in the back that if all else fails, he's there. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't take precautions further upfield. I'm sorry, Lisa, for the sports metaphors, to make sure nothing bad happens. Thank you.
Okay, this is Stefan. I see Paul on the list again, but before letting you in, Paul, may I just suggest that we draw a line in this discussion on 5A and 5B for now, because there's 37 minutes left and we have a long list. If you all agree, I suggest we take Paul's wording and then we go to written comments via email and try to continue this. Either if we have time over after the meeting or via mail or even tomorrow. Is that fair?
You're chairman of the meeting. I hope we have an opportunity. This, to my mind, certainly with the straw man discussions that are ongoing, is key. And I share Alan's concern, and I'm 100% with you, but the thing I fear is people will start thinking of this new entity as the oversight mechanism, and then there'll be a fight as to who gets the seats on the oversight mechanism. And if one doesn't provide seats for governments who are unable to win in country, their own country that is, they will try and win in this oversight mechanism. I would far rather keep it low-key, as you're seeking to do, Alan, rather than wave a flag. But I agree with your comment. The agreement will need to be changed, but there is always that fallback position. Mr. Chair, I'll follow your request. Question six, but I hope we have a chance to come back to it.
Thank you.
Question six. The next question actually comes on very nicely, is who should be sitting at the table of the new oversight mechanism? There was strong representation for the CCNSO. Particular regions wanted to see their regional organization be involved in such activities. Individual CCTLDs also wanted to have a seat at the table. So you can see already the concern that I have about creating this new body is there will be a bun fight for the seats that are available. And so I just want to express caution, but I do think we need to come to conclusion on what we as a group of 5/6 would like to see and what we want to advocate for in Frankfurt, because as you can tell, I am worried about the ramifications of creating yet another organ that devalues ICANN, IANA, rather than endorses it. Question eight, is it important to keep policy away from functions? A unanimous yes. Question nine, who is the ultimate authority for entries in the IANA database? Surprisingly, if you ask TLD managers, CCTLD managers, they will say they are. So unsurprisingly, the vast majority of CCTLD managers considered that they were the ultimate authority for entries in the IANA database. I form the opinion, personally, that there is merit in that. We are held to account for our ability to serve our local community or our TLD community of users within the TLD. If we do a bad job, we get fired. And that is important, therefore, that the buck stops with us, recognizing there needs to be oversight. So question nine, unanimous, or not unanimous, a good support for TLD managers, but also room for others, such as ICANN, IANA, to have oversight in the event of reassignment of the TLD. And the comments also supported a certain amount of autonomy for the TLD manager and having a third party come in just as a sanity check if required, if it was major. What happens if the IANA does not perform well or abuses its position? Should there be an appeals process? 94% said yes, there should be an appeals process, and that sort of ties in with our earlier conversation. Question 11. For discussion of IANA management, should GTLDs and CCTLDs be considered a single group? 69, almost 70% said no, namely that the CCs and GTLDs should be different, should be treated differently. And I do think there are some areas of operation that IANA delivers to the GTLD and CCTLD community where there is certain synergy. But it was interesting that 70% of registry managers considered that we should be treated differently by the IANA. And indeed, the contract that ICANN has with the GTLDs empowers ICANN to make policy decisions with the CCTLD community. It's a very small number of CCs that have agreed to that particular process. Question 12. Just seeing my little notes. What do you believe to be the most appropriate forum to develop objective technical standards? The IETF came out in favour. I'm just looking at my notes here because it's somewhat misleading. One of my colleagues did this one. And I'll read you what he said. Given how the three oversight organisations, IANA, ICANN and CCNSO, are split, statistically speaking, IETF is the clear winner by a large margin. If we compare the overall to CCNSO members, there is a slight drop in IETF, but it indicates further that a strong preference occurs to utilize the IETF as the standards body. So that's that question. The Section 13 broke down into four parts. 13A, should there be automated interface without staff, IANA staff involvement for name service changes? Yes, was almost 74%. Should there be automated for the end-to-end automation for changes in admin and technical? A very strong yes. Should there be a fully automated interface for administrative changes? Very strong yes. Interestingly, should there be a fully automated end-to-end service for change of registry manager / sponsoring organization? The answer was no. And I think this highlights Lisa's point, is that there need to be additional safeguards for change of registry manager. And one such thing from the comments was there need to be, we need to check that the new party is actually capable of doing the task and does have the support, the broadest support, rather than just being the anointed one of the respective governments. And for that, there does need to be some subjective element as well as objective assignments. Going through the comments, and I would urge everyone to go through the comments, they were all pretty helpful in that they reinforced the view that the CC manager, where they were wanting to be responsible for their entries in the database, could. Some were wanting to have the oversight mechanism very much dependent on a legal framework, the law within country rather than outsourcing it. There was good support for ICANN remaining the registry operator, albeit the IANA being a separate department within ICANN. Greater transparency was needed, but again, if you look at the reports that ICANN currently produce today, there is good transparency. It's just people don't know where they are because they aren't that closely involved. I'm just wondering what else there was. There was a requirement for an appeals process. Those that said leave it to the legal jurisdiction, obviously that's the appeals process. Some wanted to leave it to this potential new organization to do an appeals, or new group if it's not to be an independent entity. The list, question 15, what should not be included? I haven't actually made notes on this. There was concern about governments. Anyway, I think the point is it's better you read it, because I have to say I've read them, but I didn't prepare notes, unfortunately. I've run out of time. Read question 15 and question 16. So that concludes my summary analysis. But I will try and finish it if I get time. It'll probably be... it'll be after Frankfurt now. But it'd be nice if someone could pick up the baton.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paul, for excellent work. first of all, how, let's take this. Alan is on speaker, and Paul has an old hand, I guess.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Alan,
thanks,
please.
Thanks, Stefan. Just a couple of quick comments. Looking at question 11, and I'll read it because I'm looking at it. For the discussion of IANA management, should GTLDs and CCTLDs be considered a single group? I think a lot of people didn't notice the word discussion. I think and I'm not sure about what the results are. I think, of course, all the CCs feel that they're very separate from the Gs and should be operationally, but I sat with Byron doing the survey, and we stumbled on that word discussion. So we interpreted to say basically what's going on now. We have a cross-community working group that's made up of CCs and Gs that is, quote, discussing IANA management. So I really found this question a bit ambiguous. Second comment is just on your question 13ABC, is the use of the phrase with appropriate technical safeguards. So I think that that for us created a bit of confusion, certainly when you step back to say who should be the authority for the entries in like a who is root zone, of course that's the CCTLD manager, but I guess the question is subject to some verification or technical or whatever, and I think these kind of things can kind of skew and confuse the answer. Thank you.
Okay,
so, if
you.
I may...
yes, Paul again.
But with regards to the appropriate technical checks, I want to congratulate the checks that IANA currently do. They have checks in place today that fundamentally, that are automated, that check simple things like is the name server working on V4, V6, is it responsive on UDP, TCP? They have technical checks already in place. Does it actually hold the data for the TLD? So already in place are the technical checks used by IANA staff. So there isn't a, and those have been worked on by the community. This is work that was done 2000, 2004, 2008. So the community have had significant involvement in making sure that the subroutines that IANA do are in accordance with the community's wishes. What isn't automated today is the way in which one triggers a change in the system, because in 2008 NTIA insisted that they had the manual, although it was technically possible and it was designed in that way, 2008, they wanted to have the manual oversight functionality. So a lot of the automated functions that were existed in 2008 were taken out, and what we're trying to do, were deactivated, they're still in the system. So what, with the NTIA gone, we can get the streamlined processing we need for the majority of transactions, all bar what's come from the survey, the thorny issue of the reassignment of a CCTLD. With GTLDs, it's completely different in that with GTLDs, you have to do the technical checks, but I can anoint who the registry should be. If there's a reassignment of a GTLD, the incumbent operator is more or less told you've lost, and the party that takes over is indicated they win. Frequently or historically, it's only happened for financial failure. The losing GTLD party is happy to agree that someone else takes over a failing TLD. So the point is the technical checks are already in place.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. No one else on speaker's list. So we have agenda point 3, talking about things to do before Frankfurt, and we have agenda point 4, a common strategy with question mark for Frankfurt. So the idea was to walk through the survey, and hopefully, as in point 4, we could, in a very short heading way almost, set issues that are conflicting and that are consensus. If we could get that far, we have a very good result for today, I think. But we want to do more. So let's see what we can do in the remaining 20 minutes. Next on agenda is a request for proposal 3. Can we get a common reply to the 4 proposals? Was that you, Lisa, that put it in?
Yes, it was.
Yes. Could you please elaborate a bit?
Yes. Well, I was just, we have a standstill at 1800 UTC today for putting in remarks on the different proposals. And I don't know if we are aiming for having a go for any of the proposals before the Frankfurt meeting, or we'll just do try to respond to it at the meeting, because a lot of people are like you, Alan, noted that the GNSO has done a lot of work on the proposal 1. Do we want to try to do the same? And I know we don't have any time for that. Or how do we think that we should go forward as a group, because I kind of the reply in writing are very good instead of just doing the oral remarks. So I don't know if we by any chance can have anything for before Frankfurt.
Oh. Any other views?
It's Alan here. As a matter of practicality, I don't think we can. But that being said, I think we should take the opportunity at least to take as much time as we all have right now to kind of process some of the issues. I think we've already started that, and I think we should just continue that. I think actually committing that to writing and submitting it, I think, would require a round of consultation with all of us that might be just we wouldn't have enough runway for that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. No one else?
Well, I will follow you through teleconference. Finally, the German embassy don't give me the appointment for the visa, so I will stay only in virtual way.
Okay, yeah. You're participating from distance, yes. Okay, thank you.
I have another a proposal. Sorry, I didn't raise my hand.
Yes.
But, I was just, of course, we have 20 minutes left of this meeting, and maybe we can find some issues that we agree upon. But I don't know if we should try and meet on the morning on Wednesday or something like that in order to... I know, Paul, you're getting there pretty late on Tuesday night, right? So you're not going to be there until 10 or something like that? Paul?
Paul seems offline.
Correct. Sorry, correct. I come in... I've got a full day tomorrow in the Parliament, so I come in very late, about 10, 10.30.
Okay. No, but maybe, I know it's very, very early, but try to sit down at like a 6:30 in the morning and have a morning meeting regarding the proposals and try
at
to
5 for me.
I know.
And I don't know what time it is for Alan. It's God alone, it's midnight.
I'll still be awake anyway.
Lisa,
no, but
I'm for the... Yeah.
We can also meet some of us in the evening, but it's just that... And maybe have Eric on the call.
I'm very much in favor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very much in favor. I think we need to have amongst ourselves a common view so we go out as a united voice. And I appreciate I frequently am at the extreme end of united. But I would welcome having some bullet points around which collectively we can agree, and at least that's achieving something. So I'm very much in favor. I'm happy to get up at 5:30 in the morning, see you at 6:30 for breakfast. Very happy to.
I Stefan here, I will as well, but I think the issue is right now, then we appoint subset of our gang of 5 or gang of 6 to do this, or and is that okay with everyone? Then let's go ahead. We're just having formal discussions, but bullet points, yes. But as long as we can agree on trusting each other in what we put forward, so then it's not a problem, I guess. I'll happily take most of Tuesday as well and discuss this at place. But as long as everyone agrees on it, so I'm all for it as well.
This is Alan. Actually, one of the reasons I wanted to talk money, and I'm going to kind of talk about it now, because I think it affords us an opportunity to carve out a position that at least the G's will understand, okay?
Uh-huh.
And fundamentally, it's they know that very, very few CCTLDs are contractually obligated to pay funds to ICANN. So I think they will understand if we say anything that involves all of the registries paying funds for a new organization, is just problematic from the way the CC community does business. And if we can bring that position forward, it really will help to knock down those that want to create new organizations. And I think this is where Paul is. So if we can skew this away from new organizations with secretaries that cost money in favor of maybe committees that are staffed voluntarily, et cetera, then I think we drive this more into the world of something that's more acceptable to us. So, and as I say, there, I think the G's understand, and that's why I want us to talk now. A lot of the CCs don't pay anything into ICANN. And the other thing is we don't want to have that discussion in plenary because it's kind of a sensitive issue. So I think if we just maybe call something like it's an extra complexity to get all registries to agree to some kind of funding formula, because now how many are there? There's, you know, we're over 1,000 and climbing. So, I mean, it's just to say, look, it's just a bridge too far to get everyone to agree to that. Let's just go to something that doesn't require any more money. Thanks.
Hi. Okay. I have a comment.
Yes, please.
Yes, another topic related to the money, but more focusing independence of the CCTLDs are our relation with the government, in special the CCTLDs that are not inside a governmental structure, and that is special in Latin America, in Asia, if I am correct, more than in Europe, that are more related with their governments and their institutions. So any kind of structure that could be subject or related only to the government is for us a topic. So we need to be clear that the relation between governments and the CCTLD is not true, Ayana, is directly between the CCTLD and their local government, the local laws, and the local legislation. So this topic is a red line for us, very clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
So, Stefan, if I may.
Yes, please.
So, Eric, could you just – so, first of all, I agree with Alan. That's a very nice way of putting it in terms of not creating a new separate entity. It would be interesting to know what you envisage that the new committee, the authority of the new committee to have, and bullet points would be interesting on that. But Eric, can I just ask you, So are you saying, because I'm not certain of the point, are you saying that you want disputes to be resolved between the registry operator and the government, and therefore there is no oversight, no role for IANA or any oversight mechanism, or are you saying you want there to be an oversight mechanism so that you can allay or postpone or keep the government at arm's length? Which is it?
Yeah, it's more close to the second one. The government has a role in that structure and all the level of the internet governance. But right now, in the IANA function, the structure is a country one, a redelegation, for example. They request, they need to agree with the local community, with the actual CCTLD manager, something like that. And the IANA is more like a technical response or analyze of the situation and be clear if the community are agree with the government or agree with the structure that requests the redelegation, normally a government. So we are clear that we are, how do you say, happy. Yeah, we are more happy with the structure like now it exists. But in the future, maybe, if the governments create a structure, it's not necessary the path that we want to follow, like a CCTLD and our independence, to any government. So, more try to, and the answer is clear. That we understand a separate of functions, but we want to keep in the same status related with ICANN, with GANA, with and now with our governments. No? It's, for us, ICANN and the GANA function is a protection against hostile taking of CCTLDs.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay.
So how does that, so your model, Alan, how would your model assist Eric and his problem?
Well, I'm back, and I'll make the point a third time. It's a completely separate question about a review of a delegation or a redelegation, like a policy issue, okay? The oversight in terms of operational performance, have they hit the 90% changes within a 21-day period, or should we do further automation of the root zone, et cetera? Those are very technical issues, okay? And that's how I see this, like they're using the term oversight body, but it's almost like a customer council, all right? And I would see that as simply a committee of registries. And that committee has nothing to do with whether there are questions of the application of CCTLD policy. All right, that's a separate issue completely. And actually, there is an existing mechanism within ICANN, and maybe that has to be kind of embellished or something like that. But there, you know, and that because. There you're going to have a bunch of international lawyers or some completely different set. And I see these as two separate issues.
But in that way, so we need to be so clear in what will be the functions related with the CCTLDs specifically. Not so open that could be understanding correctly like I said or my position. So with that, with specifically functions to CCTLD community could be a solution for these apparently two different missions.
Okay, Stefan here. May I inflict with an interpretation of Eric? If I understand you right, you actually fear that an oversight body within overlooking IANA might induce costs to governments. Is that your main fear or the utmost fear, or is it more than costs? Because we tend to turn around costs all the time now. So I guess it's about challenging the utmost power within the country. If that is the what you fear, Eric, in your remarks, or... No response, really.
I think Eric, I don't know if he's still online, but I think the point he is making.
I'm still online.
And Alan, okay, good. So sorry. Do make your point again, because Stefan was just asking, is your fear about empowering governments by having this other body, or is it about the costs associated with the other body? But Alan's made a slightly different point, which we should just home in on as well. So make your point, Eric.
I just read what you wrote in the DOF. Is that the relation between the CCTLD and the government need to be clear and is based for each CCTLD and their local laws and the local legislation, but related with ICANN structure through RFC 1591, the agreement with the GANA. Maybe part of the functions of GANA in the future, of the works, or the homeworks of the GANA will be have an agreement with each CCTLD, but this is something operational. But the relation with the government, we want to follow in the same status quo. So it's not one government that control or have a power to cut or our relation between CCTLDs and the GANA. And it's clear the USA government say the same, so no one government and no one multilateral governmental sort of. Yes, we need the government in the participation. We need to listen to them. We need to have a relation with them. But not at the level of the Guiana. This is not the place for the function or external function or any way that finally appears. For this, we don't want the government will be the only that have the power to take decision for who is the manager of a CCTV, who makes a regulation, who makes a delegation or something like that. So the point that you wrote is fine for me.
Thank you. So I have two hands and we have 5 minutes left.
Sorry,
tomorrow.
My hand is...
Your hand is over.
So if I may,
Paul's...
so the point Alan makes, which I am starting slowly to understand, slowly I apologize, Alan, is that your Consumer Council is a volunteer body that would review ICANN's performance, or IANA's performance, and draft reports based on their compliance or of SLAs or not, as the case may be. Is that it?
Yeah.
So, okay. if that is the goal, ICANN, IANA are already producing performance reports, which are validated independently by troublesome CCTLDs like mine. We check how long it takes. We keep an eye on it. We make sure their reports are accurate. So that task is already being done, and the survey, which was new to me, suggested that the regional organisations could also monitor how the IANA performed. And just to reinforce the performance reports that ICANN itself publishes. So I'm questioning whether one needs to have this customer council because we're already doing it, or many of us are already doing it.
Yes, it's true, Bart. So if you, like me, read the survey say that we want to keep the structure. We want to have oversight, the independence. Maybe it could be the regional organization. Maybe it would be something, expert team or something like that. So it's not clear that it was a legal entity. But we want to keep inside the ICANN structure like a protection. In special, again, I said the CCTLD is not related directly with the government. In the case of CCTLD is related with the government, in some of the cases, they prefer a relation where the government exists so clear with a functional role, clear a new role. But for us, the majority of the CCTLDs in Latin America, and I said, if I'm correct, in Asia, our relation with the government is not necessarily the best for different reasons, historical reason, authority reason, or anyway, it's not a moment to analyze why we have a bad relation. But our clear relationship right now is with Guiana, is with ICANN, in some other case with agreements, in other case no agreements, but only historical, and we want to keep that.
Okay, thank you. I think Alan is on the next on the list, since I guess Paul has an old hand, right?
Oh, yes, I have, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
So, Alan, please.
So just I'll try and be brief. So, Paul, you say you, of course, validate these reports. That's excellent. Not that many CCTLDs do. Do I see this as the sole raison d'etre of this entity? No. And hopefully, and I don't see it as a body. I would never use that word. I would use the word committee, even though I use the word council. I apologize. But I certainly don't see it as a large thing that has any permanent staff or anything like that. But I think the real need for this is to do periodical reviews of IANA itself, just as DNSSEC was introduced, just as Root Zone Automation was introduced. These are non-ordinary changes to the functions, and there should be a place where the customers of IANA can come together and discuss with IANA staff the need for improvements going forward. And this is in part goes to the fact that NTIA is would be stepping away. And this is, I think, more related to that function. So, and that, I think, what is, for me, the prime need for this. If this was only about actually producing those reports, I don't think the argument is as strong.
Mm. Okay. Thank you, Alan. So now it's UTC time 3:30, right? So according to our plans, we're supposed to end our meeting now. So if I just may take a minute or so more, I'm trying to conclude what we actually said on the agenda point 3 and 4, and we noticed we don't have time to make a common and checked view till Frankfurt meeting, but I also hear that we would try via mail and informal small groups to take our discussions further towards a common understanding for the Frankfurt meeting. Is that a reasonable understanding?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is it small groups? Does that mean that we'll have two and two discussions, or this group will have a discussion?
I was understanding that there will be meetings two and two, or maybe three and three, but we won't have time to meet in this group before, if I understand, by practical reason. But maybe we could get forward via mail or so. I have no practical, I can't foresee a practical way to have a joint view till
Wednesday. But couldn't we have a discussion within the whole group and not two and two?
Yes, please. When?
No, just an email.
Stefan, Elisa, this is Bart. From the notes I've taken, my understanding is that, say, you will try to have breakfast on Wednesday morning, not at very late, or not too early, and in advance of that meeting, you will try to prepare a bullet, say, an A4 with bullet points to reach a common understanding. And you can use the email list and tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon, to already start developing those bullet points. But that you use Wednesday morning to finalize these bullet points and go over them to have a shared message for the broader working group.
Thank you. That is probably what I'm trying to say. So is that okay with everyone?
It's fine with me.
Okay, I will try to follow you through telephone.
Yes.
Excellent, Eric.
Alan has his hand up.
Remember, please,
yes,
I have a 7 hour of difference with you, right, when you will be in Europe.
Okay, yeah, I see. You'll have odd times. So, Alan, you removed your hand, so I guess it's an old one.
I appreciate the conference is coming to an end now, or the allotted time is coming to an end. Do we all have to rush off? Is it possible to continue another 15, 20 minutes now? I mean, we stop the recording and just whatever, I don't mind. But
yes.
Are people rushing
it
off
for
other
me.
Things?
I have a meeting at 5 my time, and that's for UTC. And I need to get there, so I have 10 more minutes, but you can, of course, continue.
I just think it's an ideal opportunity to brainstorm, because we're trying to get to some fundamental things.
So may we just end the meeting in a more formal way, and then we'll just brainstorm after that. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes, I'll leave in 10 minutes, so, yeah.
Mm, excellent. So, thank you. To scripts and etc. that wrote this, and yes, exactly, recording ended by that. So